Welcome to Comics.
Episode 250. This week, we talk about
Thunderbolts, Cage.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
Fingal is getting all crazy with, like, his requests to put on my media server.
Oh, finding some weird shit or what?
No, he just wants, like, a ton of 90s cartoons, which is fine. It's just, he gets really excited, and then texts me in all caps.
We'll get on that.
He wants me to download Gargoyles.
That's a good plan, actually.
Yeah, when you get that on there, give me the information to the server.
I'm surprised nobody's asked for it yet. Andy, do you not? I thought I've added you.
Nope, not yet. It's Plex server, right?
Yeah.
No, not yet. Get me on that. Also, give me those Windows 8 keys.
I meant to ask. Ah, shit, I forgot to ask my friend.
Yeah, my Vista computer is on its last legs because of Vista.
Don't put 8.
I'm putting on 8 so I can get the free upgrade to 10.
Okay, I guess that's acceptable, yet still offensive.
I have Vista Enterprise, and Windows 10 is not free for any Enterprise version.
No, because they think you're a company.
Yeah. Which is probably how I got it. I didn't steal it, I just got it for free.
More than likely, I gave you those keys.
Yeah, and you didn't steal it.
No, I stole it. I straight up stole it. I don't pay for shit. I just take things.
Sure, that's not illegal. Hey, David,
did you download a car, Brandon?
If I could? Hey, I have a 3D printer.
I would too, probably.
Hey, David, you going to go in with me on that hotel in Spain?
Sure.
Yes!
Oh, I have to speak Spanish.
No, you don't. It'll be better for the tourism.
I said my wife speaks Spanish.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go. She can market to the Spaniards there, and we can market to the people in England and the East Coast of the United States.
And as long as I get the church to live in, I'll be happy.
Andy, you know that people from all over the world travel to Spain, not just England and the East Coast of the United States.
Right, but the people that matter are Americans.
No, Andy. The people who matter are the people who are giving us money.
That's true.
That's a very American notion.
America.
Hey, so, I'm going to actually be here for this episode.
You're forgoing your sleep.
I know, I am. I don't know why.
I'm fucking tired. You better be here.
Alright, I'll be on my game. You guys want to talk about this week's comic?
No.
Okay. No.
Well then.
You're in the same mood as my daughter.
Alright, see you on Friday.
What?
I'll trade you.
Trade me what?
Daughter for daughter.
No, if I'm taking yours, you're taking both of mine.
Oh, fuck that noise.
That's a raw deal.
I ain't taking that. Okay, this week's comic. Let's do it.
This week's comic.
This week we're at Thunderbolt's Cage, collecting issues 144 to 147, written by Jeff Parker with art from Kev Walker. I've never heard of either of those people.
They're very big. They're very active on the Marvel side of comics.
I see. Yeah, because there's a whole like period of time there when I had no idea what the fuck Marvel was doing, and then New 52 happened, and I was like, well, maybe I should look at Marvel.
Well, apparently there's going to be a new thing. DC has a rebirth coming.
Yeah. You know how they got rid of all of the like last 20 years of Green Lantern and Flash and threw it out the window, like got rid of Wally West and they got rid of Wally West and Kyle and Guy so that they could put in the old people from like the 50s. They're doing that with everything.
Well,
which they kind of already half did.
Yeah. I think they thought that they just, you know, it's been like, what, almost 5 years since New 52 started, and they're just like, this probably didn't work out the way we wanted, so let's have a rebirth. I think they just should have just called it the Newer 52. That way, when they change their minds again, they can call it the Newest 52.
But then you start running out, right, once you get to the superlative.
You can do 104.
Yeah, you could just I'm fine with the new 104.
I'm fine with them just continuously running Newer 52. That way it's always implied as it's the Newer 52.
Or it could be called, just kidding, New 52.
JK Law 52.
I'm wondering if Kev Walker is the same Kev Walker I'm thinking of.
Probably.
Because there's the Kev Walker that illustrates Magic cards and Warcraft cards.
I think it's the Kev Walker that's related to the Day Walker.
You mean Blade?
Is that who it is? Yes. So anyway, speaking of black people, this is the one with Cage in it, right?
Yes.
Yes, this is the black man in this comic.
It's the variant issues with Terry Crews.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. This is the one.
Dude, he just came out that he was a sex addict. Sorry. No, pornography addict. Yeah, apparently Terry Crews was a pornography addict.
Oh.
I could see that.
Okay, I mean,
yeah.
Okay. That doesn't really bother me in any way at all.
No, it popped up on Facebook earlier, so I was like, oh, hey, that's relevant. Not really, though.
Okay.
No, I have an issue. I have a second copy of the variant cover just in case I magically run into Terry Crews, so he can sign it for me.
Oh, that'd be so fucking awesome.
Like, I bet you it'll be like the first time anybody's handed him a comic book to sign.
So what do you guys think about the, this is the third Thunderbolts comic, right? And this is the third kind of iteration of the team. And it seems like there's this running thread throughout all three that you guys have read, and I've been reading, even though I've been on the show, of like, the opportunity for villains to see redemption, but every single time it happens differently. You know, like the first one, they did it because they were wanting to be evil and then discovered actually being a good guy is not so bad. Like, they just accidentally discovered being good's okay. And then the second one, they saw their inroads like, okay, we're legitimized as part of Hammer and all of this stuff. And now that we're legitimized, it's actually not so bad. So let's go through that. But this one, like up front, Luke Cage is like, here's the deal, man. We're going to cut some years off your sentence. And even if you're a lifer, it's going to not be so bad for you. Like, this is way more like overt. This is the purpose of the Thunderbolts team is to like let villains out, but like give them a chance. Give them an overt chance. Like, not just like, oh, well, you know, if our interests align, maybe Juggernaut, you can help me a little bit. No, just like, Juggernaut, if you want to get 5 years knocked off your sentence, come be a bro.
Well, there's like a huge change between the shifts, because this is at the end of Dark Siege, and like everybody realizes exactly how bad Norman screwed up. And because Osborn was offering people money to be basically not a villain for a while, and then things kind of went really horribly wrong, and then they started shoving everybody in the raft again, which is like superhero Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that, like, Norman Osborn's way just does not work, because I'm totally surprised that his psychotic plan didn't work. But they basically kind of was like, here, Luke Cage, here's a really shitty job for you. Good luck.
Yeah, no, but when Captain America gives you a shitty job, you fucking do it for your country.
No, it didn't really happen that way.
You plunged that toilet.
He didn't want to be a superhero anymore because of his family, but he needed a job. That's kind of what happened, and so that's the job he got. So he's not doing this for free. This is like his job.
This is his day job.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be
so
why
that's he like goes.
That'd be
he goes
why
home
he's
at
like,
the end of the day.
That'd be why he's like, we're going to do this mission tomorrow morning. Every mission is tomorrow.
Well, I don't think anybody thought that Norman Osborn's plan of unleashing Sentry on Asgard was going to turn out well for anyone.
Oh, that was such a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, what the saddest thing about Siege
Engine
is when Ares died.
Yeah.
Didn't he get, like, cut in half or something?
Yeah. Wasn't Siege, huh? Wasn't it? That was in Siege,
yeah, it was in
I think.
Siege.
Yeah. So
I think somebody cut him in half.
What do you guys think of this, like, this more overt tone of, like, this is your path to redemption? Because I kind of liked it before when it was accidental. Because Jen was talking in the classic volume how it was kind of cool, you get the reveal, and I thought it was kind of neat that these people, like, actually, like, they'd never tried to be good before, and they never, like, nobody had ever given them that chance, and they took it for themselves. And I kind of thought that was neat. But this is more just like, you're in prison, and this is good. Like, this is, like, just, it's a straight deal. And I don't know, it doesn't feel as organic to me. Man thing aside.
They still have their moments of, we're quote-unquote a team. Like, they still, the chemistry is wrong and off, and, like, they argue constantly, and things don't work right, and Luke Cage is constantly, like, he looks like he's constantly going to murder every one of them because he's so frustrated. it still kind of has that feel to it, because it's the Thunderbolts. That's kind of how they are. Like, they're like the misfit, like, mashed up team that really doesn't work, but somehow manages to get the job done.
Yeah, and Moonstone is still here.
Yes, she is. She is there. She and Songbird are there forever. I swear to God.
Songbird's interesting, because last week I feel like she had grown a whole bunch, just in terms of like being able to identify the flaws in her own personality, and in this one, I don't know. It's not that she hasn't grown. It's more just that she's changed into a different person. And it kind of works, because then Cage can throw her profile at her and be like, you were not cool either, and nobody thought you had a chance, and here you are now as, like, one of the guards. Or what's their role? They're not guards in the raft. They're advisors, overseers, something. I don't know. But, like, and here you are, completely different. And maybe it's because I think it's because I didn't read those issues in between.
She seems
totally different.
She's way more dark. Like, she kind of just... She has a slight fuck-it attitude. Like, she just kind of doesn't care about certain things anymore. Because her life continuously just got worse for a while. And it got pretty bad with Norman, just because Osborn is insane and screwed with everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, her personality kind of dips and kind of goes up and down for a while.
Yeah. I think my favorite members of this team, it's a toss-up between Juggernaut, who I always love, and Man-Thing. I really, really like Man-Thing.
Man-Thing was amazing in this.
You didn't like Ghost?
Ghost was my favorite.
Yeah.
So,
like, he seems like the most competent and least annoying.
So there's a one-off issue about Ghost's quote-unquote backstory, which is highly scrutinized because you have no idea if he's lying or not, just because he's a tin hat guy. You know, he's crazy, and he's a conspiracy nut. But before, when you see him, like, Siege and all that other stuff, he doesn't have the flies around him. And then after they take the suit off, every time you see him, regardless of whether or not he has a suit, he has the flies.
Really?
Yeah. The flies follow him around constantly because he refuses to take a shower.
Oh.
Because he doesn't want to get out
gross.
Of the suit.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to say disgusting. Earlier, I was trying
That's
to say
That's your favorite,
that...
Jen.
I still like him. Spirit animal.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
No, seriously, I shower every day.
David, you were going to say something. Or not. That's cool. Is he gone? I think David's gone.
Do you see?
I still see him there.
Oh, maybe his mic's fucked up again.
I feel like I just called on somebody in class and I caught them asleep.
Yeah, so Jen, go back like 5 to 10 issues and look at Ghost, and then look at him again, like, I want to say, like, halfway or towards the end of the issue when he's floating with the team and there are flies buzzing around him.
Yeah, I've noticed. I noticed the flies. I didn't realize that they weren't always there.
No, no, because when they first meet him, so he actually claims that Tony Stark is his, like, rival, because because Tony Stark's big business and Ghost is, like, anti-corporate establishment. So, except, like, if I remember right, Tony Stark has no idea who the hell he is. So, he's waging war against Stark, except Stark has no idea that this, like, is going on. So...
That's adorable.
Ghost is amazing. Ghost is such a weird character, and he's so lovable because he's so weird.
Yeah, my other favorite character is Juggernaut. Juggernaut's
actually like a fleshed out character in this. Like, he's like a real person in this.
Well, he's always kind of neat, and he gets fleshed out a lot in the X-Men stuff. What I like here is that they diminished his power, but it hasn't slowed him down at all. Like, it just it takes him more of a runway to run into stuff, but it's just, he doesn't use it to temper himself at all. He just uses it as an excuse to say, fucking, I'm already rolling. I'm hitting this motherfucker. I'm running into that bad guy right now because I've done the run-up and I ain't slowing down and I ain't turning away. So fuck that thing, whether it's a good plan or not.
It's kind of more fun, I guess, just because Juggernaut was always a goofy character because he never really quite fit anywhere. Because he's not a mutant, bitch. Except people kept calling him a mutant. And then he's always kind of within the X-Men, like, circle.
Yeah, well, I mean, the half-brother and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and he doesn't really go anywhere else.
He does Spider-Man quite a bit, if I recall.
Well, yeah, but when Rhino. You think Juggernaut, what's the first thing you think of?
Oh, you think of Professor X, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was kind of fun to be like, so he's a good guy? And then he just watches, like, half-assed attempts to, like, be good, and then he just totally screws everything up. And his plan is just, I'm going to hit that thing.
Well, there was a long period, there was a point in time where before this where he was actually an X-Men. He was part of the team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not his first attempt at being good. And this time, I think he just, like the original Thunderbolts lineup, he realizes that he can still do it. He can still crush stuff and be a good guy. He doesn't have to be a bad guy to do those things. That's why he's more willing to join the team.
What about you, David? Who was your favorite?
From this book?
Yeah.
Probably Ghost also. Or Luke Cage. Luke Cage is always been one of my favorite characters for a long time.
Where's my money, honey?
But this is the start of my favorite run of the Thunderbolts. This is the team led by Luke Cage, and that continues from this to the end of the run is my favorite part of Thunderbolts. Because it kind of gets a little bit less serious. Like, there's, like, there's time travel stuff, and, like, and there's magic, and all kinds of interesting things happen.
Well, this was relaunched, this team was launched as part of the Heroic Age thing that Marvel was doing, right?
Right, but it wasn't, I mean, the comic continued,
continued the original numbering thing,
It wasn't, like, a relaunch or anything. This is still continuing from when we first started reading. In the first episode that we did about Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
This is just teams. Like Avengers, it's got a rotating roster. And this one, because the team, there's been a big shift in the climate, like the atmosphere, political landscape, whatever you want to call it, of the Marvel Universe. And so the team changed with it. But, you know, it still has the core cast of characters. We have Moonstone, Songbird, and to a lesser extent, we also have
Mach 5.
So I think even though you mentioned, Andy, that the team, the kind of the whole path to redemption thing kind of changed. I think in this version, it's more like DC's Secret Six.
Yeah. Right?
where it's a government-sponsored team.
Not Secret Six, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad. That's sorry, Secret Six is the thing that spun out of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I was trying to check myself. I was thinking, don't say Secret Six. Don't say.
Which
Secret
one came
Six
first? Did Thunderbolts come first or Suicide Squad? I think Thunderbolts.
No, Suicide Squad is was OG? In the '80s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right then.
But I mean, villains for villains turning good is not like. DC hasn't cornered the market on that. You know what I mean?
No, you can go back to Rogue and further back, and we need to do those issues too when Rogue turns good.
And seriously, the Suicide Squad started out as a government run agency, and then in Thunderbolts they did a little different, where it was villains in disguise that, from experience, saw the light. So it does deviate from the DC thing, but the two teams are obviously comparable. I think the Secret Six is more like the original Thunderbolts, whereas this Thunderbolts is more like the original Suicide Squad. And you know, the Suicide Squad had a lot of, or excuse me, Secret Six, the book Secret Six, especially the one written by Gail Simone, spun directly out of Suicide Squad.
That book is so good too.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite comic books, period.
Have we read that one for the show?
Yes.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, good. Good. Thank God.
Remember the one where somebody had like a car, like a get out of hell free card?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bane gets all like fatherly for Scandal Savage.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
And he's trying really hard not to take the Venom. And Catman smells Batman's burrito, remember?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the burrito.
That was such a good comment. Man.
When Catman tries to out Batman, and he kind of does by being able to tell that he ate a burrito.
Okay, so this comic. Does Troll join the team, that little, like, Troll girl?
Yes.
Yes! Because I like her.
Gunna or something is her real name.
Yeah, I like her, and I like her story.
She's gonna join the team.
It's basically like Raised by Wolves, instead it's raised by vicious cannibal-eating trolls. Which I love.
They're not cannibals.
Or man-eating trolls.
I mean, they might eat other trolls.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's just... It's like, how could you get... How could you take the idea of Raised by Wolves and make it more extreme? Raised by Trolls? Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, it shows, like, within the first few panels of them meeting her, like, Crossbones shoots her in the face. Like, he straight up, like, shoots her in the face.
Was it a trank dart in the ear?
Yeah, the ear. It's like...
Ugh. Which, fuck that noise. Getting shot in the ear.
She, like... It's so ridiculous half the crap that happens to her. And then, especially, like, with what David said with the time-traveling nonsense. Like, they're trying to, like... there's one, like, small little panel of it. And she's, like, trying to do something. And they're, like, freaking out because it's... I want to say it's, like, London. Like, old-school London. And she's trying... They're trying to keep her from murdering people. Because...
Yeah,
somebody told her something, and she took offense to it.
Yeah, the Marvel character Mr. Hyde joins the team, and they go to Victorian England. So he's like all happy to be there, and
it's his hood.
And Troll like follows him around like they're BFFs.
Well, I mean, she's his guardian to start with, right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. She is actually Asgardian.
Yeah,
she was just raised by wolves.
I thought she was. I think she's half, right?
She's half.
Yeah. Oh, she's half troll, Asgardian. Right?
Right. She's half troll, half Asgardian.
Either way, she's like 100% badass.
Half Asgardian.
So, did anyone else have love for Man Thing? I really liked Man Thing because I feel like a lot of the characters in these first four issues, it's just kind of like, here's a dude, look at his powers. Here's another dude, look at his powers. Here's a chick, look at her powers. But Man Thing is just like, here's a thing. I don't know what to do with this. And then, like, so, over the course of the four issues that we get, you can already see him starting to change. Because who is it? Is it Songbird? Is like, thanks for the help. Fucking just standing there, asshole. And then, like, two issues later, he's like, Okay, you want me to help? I'll just walk to where I know the problem is. You can follow me or not, and then I'll murder half of them on my own.
So later on, it's great. So Andy, you should definitely keep reading this just because it gets hilarious. But who is it? Like Boomerang? Satana shows up and joins the team later, and kind of evolves Man-Thing where he could like talk to people through telepathy. Except everybody who talks to him, he has a different voice. And so Man-Thing talks like street slang to Boomerang. And he's like, is anybody else hearing this? Like, he's like, yo, what up, dude? And he goes, did anybody catch that? Did anybody seriously just hear this? And he thinks he's going crazy because he's the only one who can hear them say that.
That's fucking fantastic.
Well, isn't Man-Thing like an empath too?
Yeah, and so everybody connects to him in a different way, except I'm just like, this was the one? This is the one he had the most juvenile connection with this guy?
You know, Gunna might be half-troll, but the real troll is Man-Thing.
Like, see, the problem, Andy, you're absolutely right about how they introduce the characters. It's like, here is this person and their power set.
Yeah, I mean, but it's only four issues.
Yeah, this absolutely is like an introduction to the team. Not all these characters stick around to the end of the run, but characters like Man-Thing definitely have good character development. This was a really strong run of comics, period, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to make light of it. There's 10 characters that get introduced and fleshed out ish in these four issues, and those are like the main people on the team. Fucking 10. Like,
yeah, it's a lot.
You think about Avengers, there's rarely 10 members of the team of Avengers. I mean, there's like the core four or five that the comic will follow, and then of course everybody has an Avengers card, you know, or like the X-Men. There's all these teams or there's these ancillary characters, but the core is usually only like 4 to 6 people. This comic is wielding 10. Like, that is a lot of work to keep straight, even in four issues. And even just to introduce people and move on. That's a lot of work to do in four issues, and the comic does a pretty good job of doing that. Like, it sounds like I'm saying, oh, you know, there's no character development, but what has been done here, the foundation that's been laid, is a lot of work and does deserve credit, too.
No, I don't think that you're... I didn't think you were saying that. I was just telling you that it gets... continues.
Yeah.
And there's growth. Because sometimes we've read comics where this is all you get.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
But this, I can say, sincerely that this is the beginning of something great.
Especially with, I love the little turn. So, there's the part when they're fighting those, like, weird monsters, and then they end up near the Terrigen crystals.
Yes.
And later on, Crossbones can breathe fire for some reason.
Oh, is that what happens to him?
Yeah, he like gains the ability to breathe fire, and then he like loses it later. It doesn't really explain too much. Besides, like, it wore off.
That's lame.
I was hoping there'd be some other like actual adverse effects.
I can't say he goes a little crazy because he's already kind of crazy, but he goes crazier.
Okay.
I actually grew to like Crossbones more because of this. Like, he got more interesting because he got more unstable. And his answer to everything is the kind of the Punisher way of doing it, which is just so I can shoot that right.
He's basically like racist Punisher.
That's a good way to put it. I didn't think about it that way. But yeah, later on he flips up his like mask like over his mouth, and then he like breathes fire and everybody's like, okay, so could he always do that, or is this like a new thing, or because nobody knows that he fell down there.
Yeah, nobody saw him fall down and breathe in the stuff.
Yeah, huh.
But
he was supposed to be wearing his mask this whole time.
And yeah. I think he said like, I don't think so, there's no time, or something happened. And
gotta
he
just wear your PPE.
So
always wear your PPE, I mean, you kids.
PPE.
PPE.
We're so mature.
Yes. We are adults. I have a child. Who the fuck let that happen?
You did, Andy.
That's true.
Also, your wife.
Yeah.
It's kind of both your fault.
Yeah.
All right. What else do you guys have to talk about this comic? What do you guys think of the art in this?
You know, the art is kind of weird at first.
Particular heads.
But I really do like the art in this. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's interesting. Oh, and Brandon, I did look it up. It is, in fact, the same Kev Walker.
Oh, cool. I guess there can't really be that many people going by Kev Walker.
I mean, there could. There's probably more than one Kevin Walker.
Well, in the art world?
Maybe. Art queen of
Every
sewer.
Time I hear the word Kev, I think of Cook and Kev, and I don't remember what the fuck that's from.
Yeah, I have no idea what Cook and Kev is.
God, it's bugging the shit out of me.
The contributions from Sleep Deprived Andy.
Yeah, this is Aren't You Guys Glad I'm Back?
So you'll learn to cope with the sleep deprivation.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting there. It's not so bad. I wake up and I pound caffeine. And then it feels better.
Yeah, I'm approaching 5 years of not a good night, single night of sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking kids.
Oh, so what's there's one character that I actually grew to kind of like without realizing I kind of liked him, which was John Walker.
Oh my god, yeah, we didn't talk about U.S. Agent.
Yeah, everybody's
his
like...
His battle against those dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, was amazing.
He's missing Baller an arm and a leg, and he totally kicks the crap out of everybody. Like, it's great.
And then I love when he's done. He stands there in the, like, fuck off pose, except there's a fucking leg missing. And he's like, who wants some? That's right. None of you. Get the fuck back in yourselves.
It's amazing, because later on in the comic, the people he beat up, I think he's crossing the prison yard, and they actually, like, are terrified of him. They're terrified of this man who is missing limbs, and they totally back up, and it's such a great panel.
Dude, he's missing limbs, but he's still basically Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure if Captain America lost some limbs, he'd still be a badass.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You could freeze him in ice for a couple decades and he'd still be a badass.
I feel like that might have happened.
It was in the movie. It totally happened.
Yeah. Yeah. What else happened in this comic? Fuck, I don't remember.
Oh, this was the first time Ghost's ever been touched, actually.
Like...
He's never... Nobody's ever
on
been
the
able
doll,
to...
Or when he got...
No. Nobody's ever been sword. Able to physically actually handle him because he goes intangible.
Yeah.
And he doesn't account for magic, and Gunna kind of slices his arm almost off.
Nobody accounts for magic.
No. Everybody discounts it so much and then totally gets their ass kicked.
It's true.
Yeah, that was actually, so because I was, you know, because I'd been following and reading it for so long, when it happened, I actually had to stop and think, like, has this ever happened before? Because Ghost is, you know, he's such a unique character, and he really sticks in your mind for, like, a long time, because there's not really any characters like him, and he kind of has a little freak out moment.
He does. And then who comes to his aid? Who's the one that's like right there? Not Juggernaut.
Crossbones.
Yeah, Crossbones. Yeah. Shoot you in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, in the ear.
Oh, in the ear.
The ear, which is like far, far worse.
Is it though?
It's a dart in the ear.
Look, I don't even like when my wife gives me a wet willy. Fuck a fucking tranquilizer dart.
If it came towards your face, though, you might like lose an eye.
I would rather take I mean, yes, that's a risk, but, like, my face, there's a lot more face, and I'd way rather have a dart through the cheek than through, like, the
eardrum.
Through
the cheek, or the forehead, or the temple.
Well, it wouldn't really go through your forehead, right?
What about, like, in the nose? Not, like, up the nostril, but, like, on the tip of the nose.
Like, through, like...
That would hurt a lot.
I mean,
I'd take that over the ear.
I'm imagining, like, getting punched in the nose, and that hurts a lot.
Yeah, no, fuck that. The eyebrow. I'd rather do the eyebrow.
The eyebrow, Andy?
What?
This is extremely specific.
I'm looking in a mirror. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Trying to identify the parts of your face for the purposes of this conversation?
Yes. Aren't you glad, so glad I came back? Yep. What do you guys think about Moonstone in this? Because she's one of the constants in all three eras of Thunderbolts. In this, it feels like she's kind of trying to prove that she can play nice, because after Norman Osborn, you kind of do have something to prove, because she was like, hell yeah, Norman, you're a genius. Let's do this. I'll pretend to be Ms. Marvel. No problem.
Well, I think part of the reason why she does that is because Luke Cage kind of successfully puts her in her place.
Yeah, because he doesn't play the games. Like, she baits him constantly into, like, doing something, and he just kind of goes, yeah, I don't get paid enough to deal with this.
Well, and yeah.
He doesn't get paid a lot to deal with anything.
Well, that's probably
She's super fake, too.
Yes.
Like, I think...
Go.
This is, like, her low out of the three comics. Like, she started out manipulative, but she was a villain, so whatever. She was really fucking lame last week, and this is just sad, because she immediately is, like... just fawning over Luke Cage, and like, it's just gross because it's clearly manipulation. I don't think she's trying to be good at all, but she, and it's only gross because she's such a failure at it. He's kind of like, fuck off. Like, just stop demeaning yourself and shut the fuck up.
Yeah, because there's no leverage she can have over Luke Cage. Luke Cage is happily married with kids and a family now at this point. You don't have to, like, so, like, in terms of, like, using her sexuality or her, like, there's none of that. There's no, he doesn't need anything. He's got a day job. I assume it pays reasonably well. Not well enough to put up with this shit, because, you know, whatever. But, like, it probably pays better than my job, I'll tell you that. And he's fucking nigh invulnerable, right? So, like, what does he really have to worry about? What leverage do you have over him? Because he's not... Even other people who have the same life circumstances as him, as he does, have a thirst for power or this or that or the other thing that he doesn't have those desires. He just wants to fucking do his job and go home to his family. And, like, if you're gonna, Moonstone, if you're gonna, whatever manipulation you think you're doing, if it helps to that end, Luke's gonna take it and just be like, all right, fine, great. Channel that energy into being a good teammate. I don't give two shits. I'm gonna clock out after this. Right? But, like, that's as far as it's going to get with Luke, which is why probably he's a great leader for this team, because none of these guys or gals on this team can really... There's no manipulation. There's no pulling one over. There's nothing they can do to Luke. There's just nothing. It's not like when Baron Zemo was the leader, or Norman Osborn. Like, all of those guys had their own motives that you could manipulate, or that could divide the team, or all this kind of stuff. And just, there's just none of that. Luke Cage, give me my money, honey. Like, there's nothing else.
So, speaking of that attitude for Luke Cage, there's a part when, quote unquote, Baron Zemo arrives.
Yeah.
Their field test. And Juggernaut takes offense to the, he's lost a lot of power line. And so he's running and he's charging at Luke Cage like, you know, I may have lost some power, but I can still damage you. And then Luke Cage just goes beep and hits him with the nanite chain and just totally stops him dead in his tracks. It's such a wonderful moment of, hey, what does this button do?
Oh, and the other thing I loved when that scene, who was it? Said to the fake Baron Zemo, like, ah, it's a pretty good Baron Zemo. Was it Songbird? And Songbird had slept with Baron Zemo before?
That's extra creepy.
And I'm kind of like, are you just like kind of hit? Who played Baron Zemo? I forget.
Fixer.
Like, are you kind of hitting on Fixer right now? Is that what's going on here?
I think it kind of goes that way as the comic continues. Am I imagining that, Brandon? It does, right?
She's kind of just hit on everybody.
And then, like,
she's much more confident now.
Then, like,
yeah.
In the bedroom, does she make him wear the Baron Zemo costume?
Actually, I think Moonstone brings that up at one point.
He just has to wear a sock on his head.
A purple sock.
Yeah, I can't remember. It sounds really familiar. But I think Moonstone makes a jab at her after, like, people find out that they slept together, going, well, so does he wear the mask or not?
Yeah, last week in the comic we read, she kept teasing Songbird, and she was like, I'm going to go have meaningless casual sex. Should I make him dress like Zemo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's it. She pokes at her for it.
You know, that should be a Cards Against Humanity card. Meaningless sex dressed like Baron Zemo.
You can make custom ones.
I have custom ones. I'm going to have to do that.
I have the Ferengi Rules of Acquisition. There's a set for that. It's pretty good.
Wait, there's a whole set that's the Rules of Acquisition?
Yeah, but it's some of the Rules of Acquisitions have like blanks in them.
That's awesome.
And
there's not an official list, right?
No, there's one that's like compiled from all of the episodes, but it's missing a couple. But
yeah, there's not, like... What is it, 280 or something?
Yeah, there's no official one from Star Trek, I don't think. I'll have to double-check that, though. If there is, I'll have to buy it. I can read it to my daughter.
Yeah, she'll need to know these things to succeed in the business world.
Yeah. So, you guys ready to rate this?
Sure.
All right, before we rate this, I just want to say this episode and the last couple episodes and all the ones coming up are brought to you by wonderful patrons at patreon.com. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and become a patron of the show today. Like Jason Raquino. Raquino? Anyway, what's up, Jason? Thank you for becoming a patron.
I know him from school.
Yeah?
Yeah, he went to San Jose State with me.
Legit. Give him a fist pump next time you see him.
He was there at the same time as you. We just were in Japanese class together.
Ah, okay. Okay, cool. Well, anybody else wants to become a patron?
He's an elusive guy.
Hey, all right.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So that's Patreon. Please go become a patron today. Support the show, and you can get some cool stuff and things, and I don't know what yet. We'll see. We just need more patrons. So go be a patron. Let's rate this. Brandon, you go first.
This is probably like a 4, just because it leads to some of my favorite antics that they get into with the time travel and the whole man thing can talk slang, and it's definitely one of the more fun storylines that happen, like, because nothing kind of follows any sort of plan. It just, hey, time travel, hey, we're gonna fight monsters, Crossbones can breathe fire now. But yeah, definitely, it's like a definite solid 4.
All right. David?
Well, since I gave last week's a 4, and this I like better, I'm going to give this one a 4.5. That's kind of a, like, spiritual rating, or not spiritual, what am I trying to say? Like, it's a rating from the heart. Yeah, it's subjective. I mean, it's all subjective, but this is more subjective than usual. I just really like this comic. This is my favorite time of the Thunderbolts, like I said earlier. And then Brandon stole it, because you can't like the same things as me, Brandon. You
know, rules. That's how family works.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I'm going to give this one a 4.5. Is it actually a 4.5 quality comic? Maybe not, but I really like it, so that's what I'm going to give it. And you're going to have to deal with it.
Okay, I will. Jen. I will. Jen, what do you got?
3.5. I enjoyed this. It was fun. Would read more.
All right. Yep. Short and sweet.
Concise that time.
I'm gonna go with Jen, too. I'm going to also give this a 3.5. I feel like this has way more potential than last week's trade paperback, but there's less of it in here. If that makes sense. Like last week's comic, there was more in the comic that we had read, and this one there's more potential. Like, I really do want to see what happens with Man-Thing, and I love that he talks to people differently, because he's apparently a fucking troll. And I want to see I'm more interested in these characters and the way that they're going to go. But this trade is just too short, and like I said earlier, I don't mean to like bring down the insane amount of work that happened to building up these 10 characters and this team and everything. Like, that's a lot of good writing and compact writing work. that that Jeff Parker has done, so I don't want to take away from that. But at the same time, I think I'd lower my rating because there's just not as much to like bite into here. So yeah, 3.5.
Tell us how you really feel, Andy. Sheesh.
I just did. Next week is the last trio. Is the beginning of the last trio of episodes for My Paternity Leave. We're gonna do another guest host. Alex is gonna come on for 3 episodes, and Alex is really into Japan, but not like Japan, like the Japan, Japan, like.
What does that even mean?
The kind of stuff that makes your face palm and go, "Oh, of course, Japan would do that." So we're gonna read some stuff that makes you like face palm and say, "Of course, Japan." So we're gonna watch Kill la Kill's first 6 episodes next week. After that, we're going to read Aria Volume 1 by Kozue Amano that collects the first 5 issues of Aria. And then we're going to read Assassination Classroom by Yusei Matsui. That's the first 7 episodes of... that's the first 7 issues of Assassination Classroom. So next week, Kill la Kill anime, then Aria manga, then Assassination Classroom manga. And I'm really excited to do Kill la Kill. Have either of you guys seen any of it yet? Before?
A little bit. I've watched some of it.
Episode and a half completely forced. I feel like there's going to be fighting words next week because right. I have never seen anything that's inspired such like dislike in me.
Oh, I have to make it to that episode.
You may not be you may not be alone in that, Jen.
Really?
I have trouble watching the show.
I can't watch it or Gurren Lagann. I just cannot. I just
they're from the same camps.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
See, that's interesting because I tend to enjoy Gurren Lagann.
Same creator, so.
All right, I'm looking forward to this. Then this is gonna be good because Alex and I watched it together, and I really enjoyed it. I can't say I thought it was good. I just really enjoyed it.
there's a very specific reason, and everybody will probably know why.
Yeah, Gamaguri is amazeballs.
Yeah, that wasn't the part I thought, but okay.
Dude, seriously, you guys.
No, but Brandon,
you keep saying that about Andy, but this is not Andy's kind of. That's not what Andy's into.
Brandon, that statement is exactly the thing that this show is trying to satire, like. The costumes are a satire of themselves and of fan service and of anime. And I think it's a great satire and it's hilarious to watch. And it's hilarious when people, cause I go on cosplay forums and it's hilarious when people go, "Oh my God, this fucking show is probably so stupid." I'm like, but you are exactly what they're making fun of. Okay. That's next week. Kill la Kill. Guest host will be Alex. Until then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See, it's good to be the host. I can get the last word.